This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 355 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. How's it going?
I'm pretty good. How's it going with you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd say that I can't complain, but I can. Like, I hate that phrase. I hate it when somebody says, oh, I can't complain. Well, yes, you literally are capable of complaining. You probably complain quite a bit. And you're just trying to make yourself sound noble, but given the opportunity, you would probably sit there and just bitch up a storm.
Wife and I, we're trying to remove the term, to be honest, out of our vernacular.
Okay.
Because by and saying, to be honest, implies that probably I lied most otherwise? Of the time. Yeah, exactly.
I get that. I get that logic.
And it's just, it's worked into everyone's vernacular so much. It's just, it's common rhetoric.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've been told many times that I need to be less honest. So.
Yeah.
Maybe we could make that a new phrase. Well, to be untruthful, you look great in that dress.
To be untruthful.
To be dishonest, I really love working here.
To blatantly lie.
Yeah.
So.
I will be very candid and say that I have not got a lot to report on this week. I mean, there was a lot of news and trailers, but
I watched. I watched some films.
I managed to get four shows in.
And I only watched. Well, okay, I think I watched some shows, but nothing new. I like the new show Citadel started. I haven't started it yet. I kind of would like to watch it, but I don't know. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I feel the same way. There's a new one on Apple TV, Silo. That keeps popping up in my newsfeed saying that it is peak sci-fi, that it is sci-fi done right, that it's an amazing show.
Yep, I'll check that out.
I just can't find the time to sit down.
You know, it's not for me. It's not so much that, like, you know, like last night I watched a movie that I've seen before, and I guess I could have watched a new show, but I didn't want to. I think you know what it is. It's Ted Lasso's once a week, so I look forward to Wednesday so I can watch it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, the shows they drop all at once, it's almost like I feel like I have to watch them all.
Yeah.
There's an unnecessary pressure I put on myself that makes me feel like I have to watch all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, if
immediately.
If you start it, you get like two or three episodes in, and then you skip a day or two, you feel like, well, I've lost the battle.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm never going back to that.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't know. I feel you there. That's honestly some of the problem with me too. You know, that's like, I think if I could jump on Silo at least.
Yep.
That'll be good because I believe that they're putting out one episode a week like they did with Chicago, like they do with Ted Lasso.
Yeah,
you know, okay. It's too late for Shrinking because all those episodes are out. But Silo, they probably only got like two or three episodes out now. So I could get on board with that and then have one a week to watch and be excited about. It's Netflix. Netflix is the problem. Netflix is the one who started this whole, we're going to drop everything all at once. Here's every episode of Stranger Things. Wahaha.
No, I have to watch I have to watch the whole thing in 2 days, or else I'm going to be behind the times, and spoilers are going to be out there. And
that's the other part of it, is that when you've got an entire season that's dropped,
yeah,
like Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has been out for a week now, and I'm already dodging. Like, it's almost like the spoiler period embargo is over. So people are like, oh, well, what does this mean for the ending of Guardians 3? Oh, we're going to explain to you what the twist means. We're going to tell you about this sudden unexplained scene. And I'm like, you know, give it another week or two, and it's just going to be all up all over the place.
Yep.
And that's what it is with these shows when they drop everything all at once, because that's essentially what they're doing, is dropping a movie. And people will hold off for a little bit, but then, you know, the spoilers are out there. They're talking about whether or not there's going to be another season two because, you know, this character died in the end of season one. You're like, well, fuck me then.
It's like Lockwood and Company. I was enjoying it. I haven't watched it in a while, but they just announced that they've canceled it after one season. So why would I watch a second season?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not getting a second season. So why would I finish the first season?
Yeah. It's like if you were reading a book and suddenly you got word from the publisher and they're like, oh, we decided that we're not going to send you the last half of the book. Like, you bought the first half of the book, but, you know, we're not going to send you the last half of the book. You're like, well, fuck it then. I'm not going to read anymore.
Yeah, it's like we both finished watching The Witch's Show. You know, the bastard son, the devil himself. And then last Monday, after we got done recording, you said, like, oh, I guess we're behind the times. It was canceled last October or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I still enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
What it was. But
had you told me, like, had you watched it and I looked up and saw that it was canceled, I probably would have been like, I'm not going to bother you. Yep. And you would have done the same thing.
I went through Netflix last night, my queue, if you will, and I deleted, I think I only have like 12 items left in my queue.
Wow.
I deleted so much stuff.
That's impressive.
Out of it. Yeah.
Spring cleaning, or you were just like, I'm never going to watch that. It's been sitting here for 2 years.
Yeah, pretty much that, you know? And then now even like, I feel like some of my ratings got deleted somehow, because like there's a movie that I know I've seen this movie. Like, I know I watched this movie on Netflix, but it doesn't show that I've watched it. It doesn't show I've rated it, because I'm trying to rate things to make sure I don't forget. Mm-hmm. But I've watched the trailer and I'm like, I know I've seen this freaking movie.
Hmm.
So
what was the movie?
I can't tell you the title now if I wanted to. It's ridiculous. Oh. I know. I'm trying to remember. Was it on Netflix? Hold on a second. It had the guy from Lie to Me, you know. And
Tim Roth.
Tim Roth. Filmography. Tim Roth filmography. When did this movie come out? Is it technically television? No, hold on. Resurrection? Yeah, Resurrection.
I don't know.
Stars Rebecca Hall, Grace Huffman, Mike Esper, Tim Roth. The plot follows Margaret as she tries to maintain control of her life when an abusive ex-boyfriend reappears in her vicinity. The film was shot in Albany, New York, and Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Premiered at Sundance in 2022. IFC and Shudder on July 29th, 2022. And I watched the trailer again last night, and I swear I saw this movie. And maybe I only watched the trailer. I don't know. But I was listening to this podcast called Rental Return, and they talk about video stores and people. They interview people that used to work in video stores. I was on it. I recommend. I think I sent them your way for season 4, maybe, or whatever. I don't know if they've reached out to you or not, but I said, hey, talk to my buddy here. They did a wrap-up episode, and they're talking about how Netflix is no longer going to be doing DVDs come September.
Yes. They're
all done DVDs through the mail.
Yep.
And so essentially you have very few like mom-and-pop video stores. You have that last Blockbuster. And you have Redbox. because somehow Redbox is still a thing. And it's funny because you don't have video rentals anymore, except we do. It's just it's streaming rentals. It's Amazon. It's Apple TV. It's Vudu, where you can rent or buy a movie. But if you look at those rental prices, I haven't talked to anyone about this, but like the rental prices of movies on all these streaming services are more than they ever were in the video store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I understand inflation, but you would think it actually would be easier because you're not paying to maintain a store, to maintain physical media. It's literally just a digital download.
Oh, my friend. Yeah, don't even get me started because this is even more ridiculous in the video game industry where a physical copy of the game and a digital copy of the game will cost the same. And then that in and of itself is stupid. But then yep. 2 weeks later, there's already like a 10% discount on the physical copies because people are just trading them in constantly and the digital will be full price. Or I'll see a sale that says, oh, at Target, you can get this game. It's normally $60. You can get it for $20 at Target. Great. I go on and I look at the PlayStation store. Nope, digital copy still $60. Stupid.
Yep, that is stupid. Wow.
So,
okay.
So I feel ya. It's, you know, you would think that digital rentals would not be $10 or $12
right.
for renting a movie.
But even like renting, like, say, Bloodsport on Amazon is $4. You know, which why? I know maybe doesn't sound like a lot of movie, but it's $4 to rent Bloodsport on Netflix.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, on Amazon Prime and on Vudu and everything. Like, that just seems stupid.
Yep.
You know? And then, like, you sent me the thing, like, Super Mario Brothers is coming to home video digital tomorrow, whatever it is. And it's, like, $20 to rent it.
Yeah.
Which, okay, that we took Wesley to see that on Saturday, so that's one thing I'm talking about later, is I went and saw the Super Mario Brothers movie. And I spent, you know, $28 for us to go to the theaters and watch it, I realize.
You spent $28 for tickets.
Yeah.
And then snacks were probably more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a free popcorn with my points. I paid the $2 to upgrade. I got pretzel bites. I got a water and I got a Kate wanted crappy nachos. So, I mean.
$70 right there.
Nah, in total, it was $54. Okay.
And some people would say, oh, well, you're renting it at home. You don't have to get snacks. So take that out of it. That's fine. So yeah. For three people, $28 versus $20 to rent out on Amazon.
Right. And granted, like you can have 10 people in the house and rent for $20 on Amazon. So it makes sense. I mean, Paul and I were going to go see Nobody at the theater and it was only playing at Smitty's. Mm-hmm. And but the times it was playing at Smitty's and the times it was playing at Regal, it was actually cheaper to spend $20 to buy it through Vudu. Instead of renting it, but you bought it for $20 and I own it digitally now, but it was cheaper for us to, you know, buy it and watch it when we wanted, as opposed to being confined by the times that it's airing at the theater. So, I mean, I get that convenience, but like, so I'm not really talking so much like in theater movies, but I'm talking like older movies like Bloodsport. Like I want to watch Bloodsport, $4 to rent it. And it's like, what? Like back in the day.
Or you know, that's if you're lucky enough to find it to rent. Like right. There's some digital movies out there where there's no rental option. You have to buy it, and it's at least $10 for an old movie.
Yes, you're absolutely right. There, that's if you go with something vague, you know, like, yeah, you're absolutely right. It costs $10 to rent it. Yeah, like I'm trying to find, like I'm trying to think of one like Oh, like the documentary. Like there's some documentaries out there that you can buy them on home video for $10 or you can rent them for $10, but you can't, they're not streaming anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
All kinds of things like that. Like it's a little frustrating, quite frankly, but I guess whatever it is, what it is. I never really considered, like, you know, like the video stores, the purpose was renting movies. And I have lamented the fact that that physical media rental is gone without really even considering the fact or even putting an equal basis that, well, you can still rent movies digitally. It's just $4. And I'm like, I would never spend $4 to rent a movie digitally. I'll go down to Redbox and get it for $1.25 or I'll find a DVD and buy it on eBay for $7 before I spend $4 to rent it. You know, like.
Yeah. When, I mean, a new release at the video store was $3.49.
Yep.
Talk about something that inflation hasn't hit.
No, no. That's true.
They were always so freaking overpriced anyway. Especially once DVDs came out, you could buy a DVD for $20 and then rent it for $3.50.
Yeah. Or you got the four pack for $10.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I think the four was four. I think it was four for $9.99. I think it actually used to be like $12.99 at one point. It went down to $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I thought so.
Back in the days of the $5 footlong.
Yeah. Exactly.
God, nowadays you go to Subway and it's like, oh, you want a veggie and cheese? That'll be $10.
Yeah, I know. I used to go to like Sam's Italian Sandwich Shop and I'd get like it was called a veggie, but it was just because when I was a kid, I was really, really fussy. Yeah, still am in some aspects. But my favorite at Roger, the store in front of our house made Italians. And I'd get cheese, tomato, pickle, salt, pepper and oil, extra tomatoes, extra pickles. And it was just very nostalgic for me. And it was just delicious. Just that combo of those three items and then salt, pepper, and oil, phenomenal. And so Sam's Italian Sandwich Shop, I'd get one of those once in a while, and they charge you for, like, the veggie. And they didn't charge you for the extras because that's all I got with those three items. And it was, like, $6, and it was worth it. I think I went to get one not too long ago, and it was, like, $12 is what they wanted because they charge you extra now for the extra tomatoes and extra for the extra pickles, even though I didn't get, like, olives and onions and peppers and anything else. Right. Like it's, I didn't get it. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know. I know I'm cheap. I get it, but still like.
No, everything has gone
haywire.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Everything's kind of gone haywire. Yeah. But anyhow, so, I don't know where we're at.
Shows and stuff. We haven't talked about any shows yet. I will say that we did finally finish that episode of Doctor Who, Arachnids in the UK.
Okay.
Which, by the end of it, this is where, like, Yaz has gone back to see her family, and Graham went back to the empty apartment where him and his wife lived, and she's gone now, and he sees her ghost. And basically, this was all of them like, oh, we finally made it home after four adventures. And okay, we're safe. We're sound. The doctor's going to go off on her own. And they're like, well, we could go with you. So it's kind of the setting up, you know, whereas before they were all accidental. They all kind of got sucked into all of this. Now it's, what am I trying to say? Oh, now it's, you know, okay, you're coming with me and we're going to be Team TARDIS. And it was basically the setup to get them to this point where now they're official companions and we'll move on from here. It's still a rough season to watch, but we're getting through it.
No, I get that. I understand that completely.
I'll also say that we picked up more episodes of The Great. the one on Hulu that deals with Peter the Great and Catherine. And,
yes. I tried to watch that. It wasn't for me.
We're still really enjoying it, but it's definitely one of these shows where like we'll watch a couple episodes and then just forget that it exists. And then like the third season is out now. And so we started seeing promos for it. And we're like, oh, we should go back and finish the second season. We're only like four episodes into the second season. So we've watched a couple more. It can be very dark. Like these past couple episodes were really dark. And it's got a lot of swearing, a lot of sex, a lot of just blatant like fuckery.
I mean, I like stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, these past two episodes, they've had a lot of the dealings. Catherine is pregnant and she hates Peter, but she insists on him giving her cunnilingus because he's really good at it. And so there's several different interactions there where, you know, he's buried his face under her dress. And the last time he did it, he kind of pissed her off. So she insisted on finishing herself off while he was out of the room. And you got stuff like that. You've got people being brutally murdered, throats cut, being shot in the head and their brains explode out. It's very brutal and dark and funny as hell. I don't know. I really do enjoy it, but again, it's one of those that I like really enjoy it, and then I forget that it's there. It's not to the point where it like compels me, and I'm like, I need to watch more of this. It's enjoyable, and then I walk away.
That's kind of like Banshee. Is it Banshee? Yeah. On HBO Max, the guy with Homelander gets out of prison. Like, I was really enjoying the hell out of that, and then I kind of forgot about it for a while. And then I started an episode. I'm like, oh, yeah, I really like this. And then, like, forgot about it for a while. And and then, like, last week it never even crossed my mind once when I was trying to figure out what to watch. When I was suffering from my paralysis of choice.
Because
that's one of my big things. Like, I'll say, like, oh, you know a movie I haven't watched in a long time? Like, you know, Friday the 3rd, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ah, but you know what, though? It's just... Instead of just like watching the movies I know I'm going to enjoy sometimes, mm-hmm. I want to watch something I haven't seen. Like, that's the big thing. Like, that's why the new release wall was always so popular. And the gallery section was, because people wanted to watch something they hadn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And on a new release, you're guaranteed practically, like, unless you went to the theater and saw it, you haven't seen this movie. Right. Whereas the gallery rental, you saw it, maybe you didn't. You start watching it and then you remember, oh, yeah, that's right. This is not that good.
Or, like, we had one of those where I was like, I'm going to show you one of my favorite movies ever. We're going to sit down. We're going to watch this. It's a masterpiece. Realized that it was made in the 90s, so some of it's a little cheesy. But, yeah, I was like, here we go. Peter Jackson at his finest. Here's The Frighteners. And we got, like, just into the first, like, 30 seconds of it where Patricia's being chased through the house by the wall ghost and her mother gets a shotgun out. Julie's like, oh, I have seen this one. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, Michael J. Fox. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So you run into the exact same thing where you're like,
that's a great flick.
Oh, it's so great.
Now I'm sitting here going, do I own that? If I don't, why don't I own that? I should totally own that movie.
You have to own The Frighteners.
That's the thing. Like, I've had so many movies now, and it's like I downgraded my collection so thoroughly, mm-hmm. and I really haven't added too much to it. But like, that's one that I should definitely.
That one and Dogma tended to be my go-tos when people were like, I want something different. I want something that's really going to, like, impress me. I was like, if you don't mind religious, you know, religious shit talking, go with Dogma.
Yep.
I was like, if you want something that is going to give you thrills, chills, spills, humor, awesome performances, and something you never expected, go with The Frighteners.
Yeah, Frighteners is great.
It was even easier after the Lord of the Rings movies came out, because I'm like, you like the Lord of the Rings? Oh, I love the Lord of the Rings. Well, that was Peter Jackson. Here's him before that. I know you didn't like the Lord of the Rings. You're the one person.
Nah, I'm not the one person. Randall didn't like it either. Fucking hobbits.
Even the trees walked in those movies.
Let me give an imitation of the movie. Do, 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 do. Ch, ch. yeah. I gotta get The Frighteners. I need to make sure I own that one. That's such a good movie.
They had a thing recently on TikTok where they said, here's a compilation of every time that Legolas talks to Frodo. And it was literally the one scene where he goes, and you have my bow. And then it said The End by Peter Jackson. Like, that is literally in three movies, 17,000 hours of film. That is the one time that Legolas says anything to Frodo.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Flatliners. I need to watch that one again.
Oh, the original, not the remake.
I watched the remake. The remake is decent.
But the remake is decent.
The original is much, much better.
It's the same thing with Dredd. Dredd and Judge Dredd. You know, two completely different movies. The RoboCop movies. You know, the original is okay, horrible, so, but it's better.
The Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd, I do not like as much as I like the Carl Urban Judge Dredd. I like that Carl Urban Judge Dredd better.
Interesting.
Yeah, Yeah, I do. I do. But Demolition Man. Now that's a great flick.
That movie has no business being as good as it is.
Nope, it really does not. It
literally has no business. It has Wesley Snipes with bleach blonde hair.
With bleach blonde, yeah.
It has Sandra Bullock trying to be a cop but be funny. It has Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
It has
Benjamin Bratt.
Benjamin Bratt. It has the one restaurant that has survived the franchise wars is Taco Bell because they're the ones that got to do the product placement for this movie.
Yep.
It has literally no business being as good as it is, and yet it's fucking phenomenal. I hate how good it is.
He doesn't know what to do with the three seashells.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, that movie is definitely way better than it ever should be.
Demolition Man, no. God. So good.
Yeah, I've been kind of going back and watching some, like, I know I've talked about it here, like some 90s movies or whatever, and like I'm on a little bit of a Steven Seagal kick right now. I bought those 2 4-disc sets, and I'll talk about the ones I watched later this week, later this episode, I mean, the ones I watched last week, but I'll just talk about it now. Steven Seagal, not a great actor, you know? Like, he made Above the Law, which was really good, actually. I just watched that recently. That's still a good movie. And then he made, like, Out for Justice. It's like, Hard to Kill after that. That was also very good. Then he did, I think it was Out for Justice was next. It's like, okay. Yeah, and then Marked for Death. All right, okay, good. He's back, you know. And then it started very rapidly kind of going downhill. Under Siege was good. Under Siege 2 is not good. And then by the time he made The Glimmer Man, which is only like 6 years into his career, he's like fat, which I'm not insulting him. I'm just saying he put on a ton of weight for what he did. And he spends all his movies after that wearing shirts that are just a little too large to hide his stomach and his hands over his stomach to hide his stomach and doesn't fight as well as he used to. And just acts exactly the same in all his movies, which is the first time you see it, it works. And then after that, it's just like, oh, he's a one-trick pony. He has the look and the whisper and the tilting of his head and saying cheesy lines that he's trying to be funny, but he's not funny. Like, it's not like Jason Statham, who plays the same actor in every movie, and it works, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's just, definitely not as good as I recall from when I was 13, 14 years old and I was in at the height of my... You know, that Seagal phase. I think next I need to go back and start watching some the Van Damme flicks. Because, like, if I remember correctly, like, Bloodsport was phenomenal. Kickboxer's phenomenal. Double Impact. Lionheart was always okay, and I'll maintain that. Just okay. It was too much like Bloodsport. Hard Target was very good. Time Cop was good. And somehow the Time Cop sequel was better. Did you ever watch that?
I did not. I really like Time Cop, though.
I do own the Time Cop sequel, and it stars Brandon Scott Lee, who played Bruce Lee in the Dragon movie, and he's your Time Cop, and it's very good. It's the rarity where the direct-to-home video sequel was actually better than the original, in my opinion.
Interesting.
Tangent, I realize, but that's where we're at. Oh, do you remember? I forgot about this. Time Cop the series. Do you remember watching that?
Yes.
I haven't watched that. I haven't even thought about that in so long. Who's in that?
I don't remember. But you know what that makes me want to watch?
What?
12 Monkeys the series. I never finished that. And that supposedly has the best ending. Hands down, from what I've read, from what I've heard, it just capped it off so beautifully. I need to go back and rewatch that whole thing, start to finish.
Time Cop the series debuted in 1997 on ABC. It lasted all of 9 episodes, and it took place in the far distant future of 2007. In 2007, time travel is a reality using time sleds to enter the time stream. However, the technology has leaked beyond the United States government. Rogue time sleds built by other parties are sending criminals into the past for a price. The Time Enforcement Commission was formed to retrieve and arrest these criminals, preventing the alteration of history.
10 years. They sat down at the writer's room and said, let's have this set in the far future. How long is that? 10 years. Perfect. Yep. Sold. Yep. Let's do it. 10 years, we'll have time travel. We'll have time travel and a police force that, you know, enforces the rules of time travel. No problem.
So Ted King, sometimes credited as T.W. King, played the star there, Jack Logan, the character in Time Cop. And I'm reading his thing here, and it says, like, his feature film credits include the X-Files movie. And I'm like, oh, where was he in that? I scroll down. X-Files movie. He played FBI agent on roof.
It's a paying gig, Mike.
He also had a role in the hit movie Blade, playing Vampire at Rave.
Right.
Yep. Here we go. On Charmed season one, you played Inspector Andy Trudeau.
Oh yes, that I do.
See, that's the only that stands out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, lots of General Hospital, One Life to Live, and now most recently The Bold and the Beautiful. So he's a soap opera actor. Ah, hell, I gotta see if they got that on the YouTube. Because I doubt it's on any streaming service anywhere. Because I need to watch an episode now. So the wife and I have been watching. Oh yeah, there it is. All 9 episodes in that playlist.
Nice.
On the YouTube. Perfect. So the wife and I have been watching American Idol. Uh-huh. And we watched last night's episode. We went down to the final 3. And we both feel that it's absolute bullshit. This one singer that neither one of us have liked from the first audition and she's in the final 3, over this one woman who is absolutely amazing as a singer. I don't even care about watching the finale at this point, which is next week. I'm going to just see who won. Because it's going to be Ian Tonga. Because if it's not him, then it's just, I might be done with the show, quite frankly. This girl wins it. Like, she is so not near as good as anybody else. You know, like, maybe she should have made it to the top 12. Definitely not the top 3. It's kind of frustrating because we really enjoyed so many other of the singers on the show. To watch them get eliminated and somehow this girl keeps skating through. And my theory is, this is my theory. She loves Jesus. Majority of her songs from the get-go were all Christian rock or religious songs until they got to the theme nights and she had to pick from, or the judges picked the songs for her, or she had to pick like for the duets, these, this, whatever. But when it's her own choices, it was always like Jesus songs. And, you know, she's from that big Bible Belt in the South. So.
Gotcha.
You know, maybe that's what's happening there. Because, you know, America votes on these people.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the judges. Like, it's the judges until we get to the top 26, and then America votes.
Uh-huh.
And whittles them down.
Whittle.
But, yeah, so that's what's frustrating. Whittle. Man, Oak Island, we watched the first 19 episodes, and then we did not watch the next, like, 6 weeks or 5 weeks because it was just so brutally bad.
Really? I know you said you weren't a fan anymore, but.
Yeah, like you'd sit there and like we watch it on the History Channel app because it's the only way we can watch it. That we buy the season on Amazon, but we didn't buy the season this year. So like you have the 42 minutes of the show. And then you have like 10 minutes of commercials interjected in between, or 15 minutes of commercials. And it just moves so slow and like nothing happens. Like stuff happens, but it's not 25 episodes worth of television interesting. You know, it's 16 episodes worth of television interesting. Like they could they could cut so much of it out. And so we just decided to skip like four episodes and watch the most recent one. Boy, you are zooming in like crazy. And watch the most recent episode. And we have no regrets whatsoever. Because no regrets. they basically recapped everything that we would have missed or what we found the most interesting in the first like 3 minutes of the episode. So now we just have one left to get the season over with.
Oh.
But yeah, it was just rough.
Sorry, what's man.
Not, what's not rough?
You used to be huge fans.
We went to Oak Island. We toured the island. We paid for the tour.
Yeah. You know,
like we still like the concept. We still like what the Laginas are trying to do and the hunt for the, like, we find that interesting. It's just the presentation, and it's not anyone. It's not anyone on the show, like Gary or the Marty or Rick, or whatever. It's not them. They're not editing it. It's History Channel that's trying to squeeze every penny out of it. And it's like, oh, if we have 9 more episodes, then that's 9 more episodes of advertisers and advertising money, and on and on and on, you know. And it probably costs less money to produce this than it does to produce anything else, you know, a scripted show. You know, so it's just the way it's dragged out. It's just, it's unnecessarily long.
Yeah. Sorry.
What else are you watching? We're not watching.
That was it for this week. The only other two shows that I have to talk about are Ghosts and Ted Lasso.
Okay. Ghosts season finale.
Yeah. The Air.
Pretty basic. I'm not pretty basic, but pretty lazy story, really. That I mean, like, it's not even, it's like, to me, it's the B story, even though it's the title story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Woman shows up, claims to be Sam's cousin. The estate attorney is like, yep, we did the DNA test. She's the cousin. She's the heir. You don't get the house anymore. And then, you know, looking into it, there's no way she could be the heir. They want a DNA test done at a private lab, not the lab that the lawyer used. And everyone just confesses immediately to, oh, it's a scam. A big hotel chain wants to buy the property, and I was trying to steal it from you so I could sell it to them. Blah, 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 blah. The only thing good that came out of it is that Sam went to the strip club, the gentleman's club, that her uncle died at. And got to talk to him.
Yeah. She's like, oh, he didn't. Katie was like, oh, good thing he didn't go to heaven. And he's like, this isn't heaven.
Yeah.
Please. I like how his buddy there was like, you might want to tell your husband that sushi was on a stripper 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
He's like, look, it's all you can eat sushi.
And then later on, he's like, I'd get up and confront you right now, but I eat some free sushi. My stomach is, I wouldn't dare get up. Or I don't dare stand up. Over fear of what might happen. But, you know, Hetty and Roberta, Hetty goes on a ghost trial for her misdeeds and lying. Because Roberta won't forgive her. And ultimately they decide and Hetty's judgment is banishment to the woods for a year.
Yep.
Of solitary confinement, essentially, where, you know, banishment, no contact, et cetera, et cetera.
No morning walks, no nothing.
Yeah. No watching TV together. Roberta doesn't want that, so she forgives Hetty. But the punishment is Hetty now has to room with Sunflower.
Flower.
Yeah, with Flower.
Because the other story is that Sam got an advance on her book about Isaac's life of like $20,000. And he feels that he's entitled to at least half of that because that's his story. And I like Jay's response where he's basically like, okay, we haven't been on vacation in 3 years, but a dead guy's going to get $10,000. Great. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's not wrong.
And Isaac decides that he's been looking at this Pottery Barn David that he really wants. And he doesn't realize that, you know, Nigel takes offense to this because he's like, it's a one person bed. And they're all like, dude, he wants you to. He wants to move in with you. And he's like, I already invited him to live in the mansion. They're like, no, he wants you in the same room with him. So he finally comes to realize what he needs to do. And he proposes to Nigel. And that's great. You know, congratulations. Nigel and him are now betrothed and they're going to live together. And that's why, you know, Hetty was going to have the big room because her and Isaac were living together. And now she's going to have that big room to herself. And Roberta's like, I'll take that room. You go live with Flower.
Yeah, so Jay and Sam are in the car because she took Jay. They went to the hospital because Jay didn't, you know, he got sick. Mm-hmm. And while they're in the car talking, and, you know, basically this Sam surmises we're not going to sell the house to the big, you know, real estate firm that wants it for the hotel chain, Four Seasons. Yeah, because, you know, like I never grew up with a family and these ghosts have become my family and, you know, I couldn't imagine life without them and blah, blah, blah.
Nice little 80s style montage.
Yes.
Of clips from the show. And oh, it really felt like a series finale.
Yes, it did. And then we see like the white beam go down into the house and only Sam can see it. She's like, oh my God. Jay's like, what? She goes, I think someone's getting sucked off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they ended it. So that was like, oh, come on.
So Julia and I were talking and she thinks, and I agree with her, that basically they wrote this as possibly the series finale.
Yes, I agree.
And that's where they would have ended it, was them saying, we're not going to sell the place, blah, blah, blah. And there was probably a scene that was shot with them like going in and telling the ghosts, oh, we're going to be a family and yay. But then when they found out they were getting a third season, they were like, okay, let's cut that part and let's replace it with this.
Yeah.
And they threw that white light in there to, you know, it's not going to be one of the main ghosts. You know that. Because why would they do that? It'll be either like the attic ghost or the headless guy or one of the basement ghosts.
Could be Nigel.
That would create some drama because he finally got what he wanted and got sucked off. And now Isaac's going to be stuck here forlorn. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. Isaac, I wish I had a ring I could put on your finger, blah, blah, blah. Oh, there's a but you've already gave me a piece of metal that's in my heart. Oh, yeah. The bullet I killed you with, you know. Oh, or.
Was it the washing hands thing?
No. But go ahead.
Isaac said something about, you know, like, oh, God, I wish I could wash my hands. He's like, I can't do that. They're like, yeah, funny. If you had actually washed your hands, you might not have shit yourself to death.
But it was when they're trying to get Sam to split the money with Isaac. And she's like, ugh. And then like, oh, here comes Sam's going to fold without even a fight, blah, 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 or something like that. And Nigel makes a comment. I mean, Isaac makes the comments to Nigel about like surrendering, you know, like easily. And
yeah.
A little dig. It was good.
Good show. But again, this is now another one that is done for now, so we don't have that to talk about.
Yep. CSI got one more episode. We got one more episode this Thursday. It'll be the season finale on this. Again, I enjoy the show. I enjoy the characters on the show. It was interesting because the murder this week was in a pistachio factory and they had to sort through all the pistachios. And that was the big thing. Like they're trying to sort through the shell case, all these pistachios to find a shell casing. Right.
Okay.
So through the episode, you keep cutting back to like the group as they're hand sorting through these pistachios to find the shell casing because there's millions of pistachios, whatever. And then like one guy rolls in with a metal detector. And she's like, beep, 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 beep. No, here it is, and he walks off, you know, like.
None of them thought of that?
Yeah, apparently not. But anyhow, yeah, it's still solid. I like the show. We're watching Deadliest Catch.
Yeah.
It's a good season this season. I think we've watched 4 episodes, maybe 5. Whatever's out is what we've watched. Lots of drama as far as a lot of illegal fishermen up there. And. Mm. And Russians coming across the line and messing with traps and someone's poking through other people's traps and like really like shitty fisherman stuff that like I haven't seen on this show in the years I've been watching it. But that's a solid season.
Interesting.
And now the best show we're watching right now because it's one of the only ones, Ted Lasso.
But in fairness, it's also an amazing show.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I'm very sad that we have 3 episodes left.
I know. They better be damn good episodes.
I mean, I'm sure they will be. So what we got going on this episode?
So a number of different things. One of the stories going on here produced one of the greatest line exchanges of this show so far. Made me laugh out loud, made Julia laugh out loud. We had to actually stop, wait a minute, and then go back. So Roy isn't falling in line. He's being Roy. He's doing his own thing. And so at one point, Ted fucks off and Rebecca asks
he doesn't do that. He's got parent-teacher conference.
It's a video parent-teacher conference, but still, yes.
Because he's in England and his child's in the United States, so.
Yeah. So Rebecca tells Roy to do the press conference. And then Higgins is like, you got to come down here. And it's Beard instead. And he's picking a fight with him over who the greatest guitarist was of all time. And like, he's getting passionate. He's like ready to fight these reporters. And Rebecca steps up there and she's like, okay. Hi, I haven't been in front of you in a long time. Ask me a question. And they ask her the same question. And like, it cuts away to her being out in the hallway with Higgins. She's like, I just froze up. He goes, you said the guy from Cream, not even his name, just the guy from Cream. But she decides she has to put her foot down with Roy.
Yep.
Because, you know, she's the boss. And so she marches down to the locker room while they're all like, it's not even the locker room, it's the weight room. And they're all working out. And she walks in there and she's like, Kent, get your hairy ass up to my office right now. Storms out. And he's like, okay. And he starts to walk away. And everyone goes, woo. And he whips around on him. And you think it's Roy. He's going to say something like, you know, every one of you has to run laps or something like that. And instead, he just gets really gruff and he goes, every single one of you in here knows that my ass isn't hairy and not one of you said a word.
Yeah.
And I will never forgive you for it. And he turns around and walks out and everyone's just silent. And then McAdoo goes, yeah, he's right. We're cowards.
Yeah.
The way he delivered it, literally, we had to stop and laugh our asses off and then rewind and watch it again. It was so brilliant.
You got to think, like, I can't think of the actor's name now, but he's going to be sad not playing that character anymore.
He is.
Yeah, I feel like he has to be.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, we did get a little teaser of him as Hercules in the end of Love and Thunder. So,
yes,
he'll be doing that. Maybe he can be Hercules as a dick, because Hercules was a dick, honestly, yeah, in the mythology. He wasn't the Disney character that we got, and he wasn't right. Kevin Snow. Basically Rebecca calls Roy up to her office and she doesn't just say you will fall in line. She basically tells him that he is sabotaging himself and doesn't think that he's worthy of happiness or getting what he wants. And so he's always just, you know, self-sabotaging and that he needs to cut the shit and accept the fact that he deserves good things. And he's like, yeah, okay.
Yep.
And of course, she's partly talking about Keeley.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and then if you fast forward to the end of the episode, it's time for a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And they're down there waiting, and Roy shows up and he goes and sits down and he was excellent. I wish I could remember them verbatim. Did you write them down? His comments to the reporters were outstanding. I love it. Goes new Kent or new. Yeah.
New Trent. Yeah.
Oh yes. Blah, 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 blah. I like you better, new Trent. You know what I mean?
But he told that story about the holy crap, because the whole big controversy in here, if we want to like tie this all back, because that was
that's true, we kind of should talk about that.
So basically Isaac has been giving Colin the cold shoulder the whole time.
Yes.
Like won't pass to him, won't play with him. He's been like pissed. And Julia and I called it. I'm sure you called it too. He wasn't mad at Colin for being gay. He was mad at Colin because they've been friends for years and Colin never told him. So yes, he felt
he mad and he didn't trust them.
Yep. So basically they, you know, they have this intense hatred towards each other out on the field. Colin's not really hating him, but he's hating the way that he's being treated by Isaac and thinks that Isaac's mad at him for being gay. Yep. And then they all play like shit and they're down 2-0 at the half. And as they're walking to the locker room, one of the fans is standing there and he's been heckling him the whole time. And he's like, "Oh, you're playing like a bunch of faggots." And Isaac like storms up there and picks a fight with the guy, like almost knocks his block off. And security takes the guy out because he's being an asshole. But McAdoo also gets a red card and he's, you know, they're now down a player for the rest of it. And he's still
ejected from the game. Yeah.
Yep. He like rips off his captain armband and he hands it to Sam. And I love the little tiny note word exchange between Sam and Jamie, where Jamie just like points at the badge and then like points at himself. And Sam's like, "Oh, you want it? You want this? Oh, fuck you."
Yeah. Flips him off.
But you know, then they're having their locker room talk and they're like, you know, "What did he do? Why did he do that?" You know? And Sam's like, "Well, I heard, you know, what that fan said. He used the F word." And Jamie's like, "Fuck."
No, the other F one. Word.
Yeah. And Jamie thinks about it for a second. And he goes, oh, fuck. Yeah. And they all kind of have like a little, you know, heart to heart moment. And they're like, "Well, maybe Isaac's gay." And
to go back real quick.
Sure.
They're all just sitting there. No one's talking. No one's saying anything. And Ted's just standing there. And he's like, "No one's going to say anything. Okay. What the hell was that all about?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, to Isaac. And Isaac's just like, "What the, you know," and then that's when they say what the guy said. And Isaac, "Anyone in here could be gay. And that's our brother. We should be talking, blah, blah." And he storms out. And then they have their private conversation. Right. And it's just like, "Oh, maybe Isaac's gay. Oh, that's why he got so mad and so upset." Mm-hmm.
But we're okay with it. And then Colin stands up and he's like, "No, it's not him. It's me." And he found out, blah, blah, blah. And it was neat because they took it a step further. Like, you know, everyone's like, "Hey, we don't care." And then Ted's like, "Wait a minute." And he tells this story about,
"We do care." Yeah.
Yeah. About a kid that he knew in school who was a Denver Broncos fan and they were out in Cheese Country. So, you know, and he's like, you know, he sat there and ate a 7-layer dip by himself, ended up in the hospital because nobody went to visit him. And then he did it the exact same way the next year. It was a good story. And he was basically saying, if I had cared a little bit, I would have gone over. I would have sat with him and helped him.
And watched his godforsaken team win 2 Super Bowls, you know, like.
Yeah.
And then.
I love how Colin's like, "Did you just compare being gay to being a Denver Broncos fan?" And he's like, "I did. I'm sorry. I regret it. I take it back." And people are like, "What is a Denver Bronco?" "Oh, it's the American football team."
Yeah.
"What are you talking?" Yeah. So, you know, we do
It was one, a normal, like, Ted, heartfelt, like, really great, really well-spoken story. With "Did you just compare being gay to being a Denver Broncos fan?"
And it's nice to see him get called on stuff like that every now and then, you know? So basically, you know, we resolve that. They go out there, they play better than they ever have. Colin's actually playing like a fucking champ and they win it. They end up winning it. They've been on a winning streak. So it was nice.
Yeah.
You know, May's run out of glasses at the bar because so many people are in there drinking. So she gives the regulars champagne flutes and they're like, "We like this now." But then fast forwarding, you know, Roy's doing the press conference and they're like, "Why did Isaac do that?" And he's like, he's like, "Fucked if I know." And then he tells this story about how when he was a young footballer, there was an old guy on the team and him and his wife were expecting their first kid. And Roy made some snide comment about maybe it's not even your kid. And the guy beat the shit out of him. I mean, he said, you know, he beat the shit out of him so bad that he was laid up for 6 weeks. He was in the hospital for weeks. He's like, "This guy just beat the ever-loving shit out of him. And when he went back and talked to him later, he found out that the guy's wife had lost the baby weeks before, and he was holding it all inside, and he hadn't told anybody.
Yeah.
And it just – that comment from Roy just put him over the edge. And so his point was, it doesn't matter why Isaac did what he did. Know that there was something going on inside of him that, you know, he kept bottled up too long, and it burst out like that. So, you know, maybe be asking what's wrong with him, you know?
Yeah.
It was a beautiful story, and it was great. But then again,
it really, you know, was
Roy being Roy and saying, all right, new trend.
New trend.
We also know that
I like you better, new trend.
Yeah. What's her name? Keely was ghosted, and then, you know, Jack finally
responded to her
and said that she's going to be in Argentina for the next couple of weeks. I liked when she said, she was like, okay, to Higgins and Rebecca. She was like, okay, go ahead. Say all the bad things that you've been thinking that you haven't said. And Rebecca's like, no. And Higgins is like, she sucked. I can't remember what he said, but it was something weird. Like, you know, she wasn't much of a woman, was she? Or you know,
yeah,
she was a terrible person. And
yeah.
They weren't expecting that because, you know, you're not supposed to actually say anything bad in case they get back together. That's the rule. Everybody knows that.
Okay.
And then on the other side of things, Nate has now caught Rupert's attention. Rupert meets Jade, his girlfriend, and acts like a complete slime ball. Like, he's being Rupert, but he's like, you know, saying her name wrong and telling her how lovely she looks and like kind of putting the moves on her. And she's obviously doesn't care, couldn't care less. She's just like, she's treating him like she treated Nate back in the day. Just like completely indifferent, completely ambivalent. No, don't care. So then Rupert doesn't like that. So he invites Nate out to a boys' night. And when Nate gets there, he's got these two supermodel-y type women. And he's like, oh, the girls are going to join us for a drink. And Nate's like, I thought this was a guys' night. And Rupert's like, no, the girls are coming with us. Trust me, this will be very much a guys' night. Just complete scuzzbag, complete slime ball. And Nate, to his credit, I mean, he's been doing the dark side thing, but to his credit, he basically looks at the girls, looks at Rupert, and then goes, you know what, Rupert? I have to cancel. I just wanted to tell you in person instead of doing it through a text so that it was, you know, more professional. And Rupert just looks at him and rolls his eyes and turns back to the bar and picks up his drinks and goes, follows the girls. Like, he's pissed, you can tell, but he won't even give Nate the satisfaction of knowing how pissed he is at him. He's just like, no, you're going to be punished for this later, is kind of the impression that he's giving. Like, Nate, you will be punished for this, trust me. But for now, I'm just going to walk away and let you stew in that. And Nate seems fine with it. He goes home to Jade, and she's like, hey, I thought it was a guy's night. And he just gives her a big hug, and that's how we end their story. It's a Nate redemption arc, but it's not really a full-on redemption arc. It's more him just being the nice person that we always knew he was in the beginning, and then he kind of got too full of himself, and he's still full of himself, but, you know, he's coming back around to being a good person. You can be a good coach and a good person.
I'm glad they didn't make him like a piece of crap who like cheats on his woman straight away. And cause he wants to, it's more important for him to impress. To me, it was quite a bit of redemption as far as like you said, he stopped being the person he wasn't and being the person he is. And then hopefully that will spread, but we'll see. But you're right. Rupert's probably going to fire him or do whatever. Cause wasn't being a playboy player like Rupert is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he snubbed the boss.
Yeah.
Nobody says no to Rupert.
Yep. And gets away with it.
Yep. So I think that was about it for that episode. Again, another amazing episode. I'm going to miss this show when it's gone, but this is another one I can tell you for sure. Like, rewatching the first two seasons with Julia to get caught up, because she hadn't seen it. It was just as enjoyable, if not more enjoyable, a second time through. And I could see this being a, you know what, I'm going to sit down and rewatch Ted Lasso, you know, a year or two from now, because it's fucking great.
Three episodes left. It'll be over come May 31st.
I read something interesting today, by the way. So the character of Ted Lasso was originally an SNL skit that Jason Sudeikis created.
I didn't think it was an SNL skit. I think it was.
Oh, it was for promo.
It was. Yes. It was for commercials for NBC's coverage of soccer or football.
And the character was very boisterous and overbearing and pompous in those commercials. And apparently, that was right about the time. That was like 2013 that he created him. And then around 2014, 2015 was when Trump started coming on the scene. And Jason Sudeikis and his wife had just had their first kid, and they were watching Trump and all of his boisterousness and his pushiness and his loud bravado. And I guess it was similar to the original design that they had for Ted Lasso. And Jason was like, you know what? I don't want to bring more of this into the world. So when they created the TV show, they changed Ted to be the softer, happier, more friendly guy instead of the boisterous, pompous, arrogant American that his original design was.
Well, I'm very happy that they changed him.
I sure am too. I think that it's what makes the show so great. Like, there's an alternate reality out there where they stuck with the original design and we got a Ted Lasso that was you know, the fish out of water, but I don't care. I'm an American and I do everything right, and you all are the idiots because you're calling it football, but it's really soccer. So I'm glad we got this version in this reality.
Me too.
The darkest timeline.
Do you think the show could continue without Ted? Like, if Ted decides he's going to go back to the U.S. to be with his son, and the show continues in the U.K. with all those characters, and...
I think that it could. I think that right now what Ted provides to this show is the optimism and the sincerity. But I think that he's rubbed off on enough people that even though you've got Beard flipping out about greatest guitarist ever, and you've got Roy, who's still an incorrigible cocksucker, everybody's kind of better people for experiencing Ted, for being around Ted.
Yes.
And as a result, I think that you could continue a show based on his legacy. Maybe.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Movies?
I watched none.
Okay. I finally watched the documentary Wolfman's Gotten Hearts. Which is a documentary of Andrew Gower, who played Sean in Monster Squad, and it's about the movie The Monster Squad and its cult status and its revival in the early 2000s and everything. And it was really good. It's really good. Did a great job with it. If you watch the movie, if you like The Monster Squad, you'll love this documentary, because it really, you know, it's just very good, you know. I know you watched it when you were younger, but I was surprised as an adult that I knew so many people that had never watched it before or even heard of it.
There's certain movies from our day that I think slipped through the cracks. That one, like The Goonies, is not one of them. The Goonies, everybody has either seen or heard of. There's merchandise everywhere. However, movies like Monster Squad or The Lost Boys, I think were fucking tent poles for guys like you and I.
Yep.
And most people don't know about them. You're going to find some people who know The Lost Boys because of either Kiefer Sutherland or because, you know, they were going through a phase there where they were like, ooh, I like the Bad Boys. The Coreys were in it. But it's still one of those that you would probably be hard pressed to find people like at your work who knew of The Lost Boys, who had seen it, who had even heard of it. They'd say, is that a Peter Pan movie?
So it's funny because in the documentary, they kind of blame the Lost Boys for why they did so terrible, because it came out like right before them.
Yep.
But like the Monster Squad, They Live, you know, those are two like really cult classic, good, well done movies. I mean, John Carpenter, They Live, for crying out loud, that for some reason escaped, not released, and then found new life after the fact on home video. Because like I remember renting the Monster Squad when it came out on new release at my dad's, and I rented it very often. And then it was on HBO. Remember when HBO Saturday Night Premiere was a big thing?
Oh yeah, gather round, yeah. Add that logo, the music. And it had the
you know what I mean? And it got you pumped. Yeah, it got you pumped up for this movie you're about to watch. I don't even know if it's a thing anymore. I don't even know if it is.
No.
But, yeah, that HBO's was so not good.
Really a thing. It's Max now, you know, and things just appear on Max.
Yeah. But anyhow, I taped it off HBO on VHS, of course. Watched it so many times. Had to repair the tape so many times that, like, I think I cut 5 minutes out of the movie. I just, you know, it was never really on home video. You couldn't buy the VHS then because they didn't sell it commercially. It wasn't until literally the 20th anniversary that Lionsgate released a DVD.
Wow.
Which I own now, which I still own from when it came out. And got to watch and go, oh, those are the moments I missed. But no, it's just a great flick. The documentary is really good. It brings back a lot of great memories. And yeah. I watched two Steven Seagal flicks. I know I talked about them earlier. I watched On Deadly Ground and The Glimmer Man. The Glimmer Man is like, so On Deadly Ground, sorry, I'll start with that one, is a, is that Fire Down Below? I'm thinking On Deadly Ground and Fire Down Below. On Deadly Ground is he's like an EAP, Environmental Protection Agent for the federal government. And he goes to this town posing as like a missionary doing work. Of the work of Jesus to help people, when really he's investigating contaminated water and toxic waste dumping. So it's like his when he was doing his like environmentally, you know, sound type movies or whatever. And then Glimmer Man is like the first white guy, not one of the first, but one of many white guy, black guy buddy cop movies.
This is when he started to go really mainstream commercial, right?
Well,
was this before or after Under Siege?
After. Okay. Under Siege was 92. This was 97. This was like, Oh, hey, he's going to make a comeback. And then he didn't.
Gotcha. Not at okay. all. I knew there was something about Glimmer Man that marked like a milestone for him.
Well, he was called the Glimmer Man because like he was a CIA agent. And you'd see like a glimmer in the forest and then you were dead. Because that's all you saw of him.
Wow.
But like Keenan Ivory Wayans is the straight man. Yes. Keenan Ivory Wayans is the straight man in this. he's his partner and everything. And they're tracking a serial killer. And yeah. So it was okay. Again, it's not like I must've had Coke bottle glasses, you know, looking back like Coke bottle, I saw things through rose colored glasses or, you know, Coke bottle. I'm, you know what I mean? Like it seemed grander, better than it was. My memories of it are better than it is.
Graduation classes.
Whatever. I haven't heard that one.
That was on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yes. Yes. Then. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I watched The Corruptor. Chow Yun-Fat, Mark Wahlberg, came out in 1999. Oh. Chinatown. Like,
that's only PD. Two words. That's not a Steven Seagal movie.
No. Yeah. Yeah, so I watched The Corruptor. That was good. I liked it. It's probably been 20 plus years since I've seen it. I could wait another 20 years. watched Blair Witch, not the original one, Blair Witch Project, but Blair Witch, the second sequel, which is a direct sequel to the first one, you know, 15 years later, whatever it is, 17 years later, and it's Heather's brother and he sees a video of her posted online, like perhaps that someone posted some Blair Witch videos online and he thinks he sees her. And so him and his buddies go and try to find her in the woods.
You know, at the time, the Blair Witch Project was brilliant because it was the first real foray into found footage movies.
Well, it was the first commercially successful one that people remember.
Yeah.
When you start digging into it, there was several that came out before that. They just didn't have the appeal.
And the only reason that it succeeded then and it could never succeed now is because of the internet.
Yeah.
Found footage movies can be entertaining now, but like the Blair Witch Project had that hype around it and that mystery that people were like, is this real? Is this fake? Was it a movie? Is it real documentary footage? Like, well, it actually had people talking about it back then, which you can't really do nowadays. You can't replicate
definitely,
that.
No, you can't. You can't. What was that one? Not Super 8. Was it J.J. Abrams? The Cloverfield? No.
Cloverfield.
Yeah, that was not really a found footage as much as it was a first, like it was shot in the style of first person footage, I guess, or found footage, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty solid. Saturday, Kate and I took Wesley to go see the Super Mario Brothers movie.
What'd you think?
I liked the movie. You know, they cleverly tied in like a lot of Mario things that you're familiar with from the different games into the movie.
Okay.
Jack Black as Bowser. He had the Peaches song that was very catchy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Up for an Oscar, I believe.
Really?
Okay. Something like that. Yeah. I know it's on the Billboard charts.
Yeah. So it was decent. If I wanted to compare it to other comic book movies, like
you
say,
compare it to the video game movies.
That's what I meant. Video game movies. Sonic was better, you know.
Nice. Okay.
I liked it. Ultimately, I liked it. I don't want to give it away. You'll watch it, I'm assuming, at some point.
Oh, yeah. It hits digital tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which
probably
means
gonna be
that,
$20.
Yeah, but it'll probably be on one of these, like Peacock or Max or something, within a month. And I'll check it out then.
Yeah. Like, we got Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumanium coming out Wednesday on Disney+. Mm-hmm. Plus. We went and saw Canon on Friday night. Wesley, do you want some help with that? You're scaring me. Okay. We went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
What'd you think of that?
Loved it.
Yeah?
Yep. I really enjoyed it. It was because I really enjoyed the characters, and I really enjoyed the movie, and I'm really glad I went to the theaters and saw it, and I didn't wait a couple months for it to come out on home video.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I was going to say, without spoilers, do you really feel a lot of people are saying that the MCU has kind of fizzled out since Endgame? Like, with the shows that we've gotten and the movies, they're like, it just doesn't have the same magic. It's not the same. It's on its deathbed.
I think they built for 10 years to Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it, and it was absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think instead of them trying to start over, they just tried to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't need to start over per se, but it's definitely been an uphill struggle since Endgame because it was so good. And the culmination of all those different movies and all those different layers and everything. And it didn't help that we got things like the Eternals.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I get it. And I've heard a lot of negative about Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep.
A lot of negative. I'm still going to probably watch it this week sometime. But I really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Thanks.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I can't wait to check it out. Any other movies?
That's it.
Okay, so news and trailers. We're going to skip over the thing that I sent you about the Bastard Son because we already talked about that. We got a trailer for Arnold. 3-part portrait of the man behind the muscles. This is a 3-part documentary series about Arnold Schwarzenegger. From being a bodybuilder to being a movie star to being a governor. You know, the life and times of Arnold.
I'm interested.
I'm definitely going to watch it. I'll watch the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
My dad, when I was growing up, wanted to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, he thought he could be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. He thought that, you know, yes, that's attainable. I can do that. He was incorrect, but.
He was incorrect. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Arnold also did a lot of steroids.
Yeah. Yep. But no, I will absolutely watch that. I'm very looking much forward to it.
We got the official trailer for Flamin' Hot, which is.
So I didn't know what to expect with the title. And then you start watching the trailer and I'm like, I want to see this movie.
It's based on the story of how the Flamin' Hot Cheetos were created by a janitor.
Yeah.
I love the concept. It's ridiculous. It looks like a ridiculous movie. It's directed by Eva Longoria, which I'm like, when was the last time she directed anything?
I have no idea.
But holy fuck, you know, it's Flamin' Hot Cheetos have become completely iconic. They have on TikTok, there's a girl who every video that she does as the Flamin' Hot Cheeto girl, because apparently that was a thing. In high school in the 90s, you had the Flamin' Hot Cheeto girl who was always well-dressed and had the long nails, and all she ate was Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And it's a thing. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah. Very much so.
They're pretty good.
I can't complain. Beetlejuice 2 confirmed for 2024 with Jenna Ortega, Michael Keaton. We pretty much knew that.
And then they added another story a little bit further on. Monica Bellucci is also joining. They haven't really said who she's going to be, but
yeah,
you know,
I thought that was going to be Beetlejuice's wife.
No,
Is it?
Because he tried to marry Lydia, right?
Yeah, but he didn't.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure.
Either way, I'm fucking there. I mean, it's Michael.
Yeah, right. The General Monica Ortega. Belushi joins Beetlejuice 2 as his ghoulish wife.
That's
the title of the headline that you sent me.
Well, look at me. Love it. I saw some clips from Beetlejuice the other day, and I'd forgotten how much claymation type stuff there was in there. And I'm wondering if they're going to do that again. Now, or if they're going to go, like, are they going to go practical or are they going to go CG?
I always like practical if they can do it.
Yeah. Got a trailer for The Crowded Room on Apple TV. Tom Hall.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
My thought is that it's going to have something to do with dissociative identity disorder. Multiple personalities.
Yes, absolutely. But I still don't know how I kind of feel about it.
Yeah. Run, Rabbit, Run.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
I almost didn't send you the trailer because I was like, I don't know. But I was like, he deserves to see it. It wasn't a punishment kind of thing, but it also wasn't like, I can't wait to see this. It's like,
It just looks really weird.
Yep.
Looks really weird. It's going to be on Netflix here next month in June.
There's the official trailer.
Yeah, the Arnold trailer. Dolph Lundgren's been battling cancer for the past 8 years.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
It's like with Norm MacDonald, where it's just like, I've been sick. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Still got a bunch of movies coming out.
Yep. Yeah. He's still going strong.
Good Omens.
We got the official picture for Good Omens too.
What's that release date?
It's the summertime.
That's it. Yeah. It's
June, I believe. Oh, July 28th.
Yep. Okay. Disney and Hulu are going to merge into a single app later this year in the United States, I guess.
It's interesting because they said that there'll be one app, but they'll still also be separate if you want to have them separate. I would rather just have everything in one area myself.
Sure, same.
Speaking of things nobody asked for.
Yeah. A Freaky Friday sequel with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan? Why?
So first
why?
Off, your Freaky Friday
they're adults.
Sequel, you're like, they've already remade this movie like 30 times, like right. under the name Freaky Friday, and then there's a million other versions, you know, right. Where people swap bodies. But yeah, they're doing an official sequel to the worst one of them, which was Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, and they're bringing them both back. Like you said, why?
It's not. Nope. Just nope.
We got a trailer for My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3.
Didn't ask for that. Don't care about watching it.
So I recently watched the first one with Julia because she was like, oh my God, I love this movie. And I had never watched it. It's a classic. Okay. So, I mean, it's not a classic as in like AFI Top 100. Maybe it is. But it's one of those that you just kind of have to know. So I watched it. It was very enjoyable. So I sent her this, and she's like, I never watched the second one. I'm like, okay, well, guess we should watch the second one before we watch the third one.
Well, yeah, probably should. Yeah, I don't know. I just, I didn't, it doesn't do anything for me.
I sent you a trailer for Poor Things. Now, I watched most of this trailer, and then I was like, I don't care about this. But then it kept popping up over and over again, and I was like, okay, I'll send it to him, see if he cares about this.
I don't know what to make of this. It's
a different version of Frankenstein's monster, where Willem yeah. Dafoe is Dr. Frankenstein, and Emma yeah. Stone is the monster. Except that it's more like she has the mind of a child in the body of an adult woman, and she's exploring the world. So it's less like, you know, walking around going fire bad, and more
yep.
childhood innocence in a created. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all set with it. All set with it.
Mm.
Black Knight.
Just released today. Looked interesting. I don't know.
South Korean TV series.
Yep.
It takes place in 2071. Post-apocalyptic. Comets wiped out all but 1% of the population. And mm-hmm. there's lots of air pollution.
Yep.
And this guy, Black Knight, he delivers oxygen.
Yep. It reminded me of a game that I played by Hideo Kojima called Death Stranding. Similar kind of thing, you know, post-apocalyptic world. You play a delivery guy. It looked kind of similar, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Greatest Geek Year Ever, 1982 docuseries. Okay.
So here's what's interesting. If you read the description, it says 1982 was an incredible year for movies, with lineup including E.T., Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, Poltergeist, John Carpenter's The Thing, Conan the Barbarian, Friday the 13th Part 3, The Beastmaster, Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, Blade Runner, Swamp Thing, Megaforce, The Sword and the Sorcerer, and the U.S. release of The Road Warrior. The list goes on and on. So they're doing a documentary about it. Cool. But I sent that to our buddy Petrie. And he responded with, I'd like to see that, though I disagree with the year. 1984 is a much better year, in my opinion. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, Ghostbusters,
yeah.
Gremlins, Temple of Doom, Karate Kid, Transformers Generation 1 series, Footloose, Neverending Story, Revenge of the Nerds, Beverly Hills Cop, Purple Rain, Voltron, Night Court, Miami Vice, Cosby Show, on and on and on.
He's not wrong.
I gotta agree with him there.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Like, they made a good point with Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, E.T., Poltergeist. You know, those are good. The John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yep.
But, damn, you can't say Friday the 13th Part 3 without knowing that people are going to say Part 4 was better.
Well, and Part 6 was the best.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that maybe this is the first of many. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm hoping this is the first of many. So if they're like, greatest geek year ever, 1982, and then we'll get a 1983 or 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think you'll see that happen.
like the toys that made us, you know? Sorry, I cut you.
That's okay. I was moving on. I apologize. I didn't know, but anyways, Meg Foster played Evil-Lyn, the voice actress of Evil-Lyn, not the voice actress, who played Evil-Lyn in the live action Masters of the Universe movie, mm-hmm. is going to be playing a voice in the Netflix Masters of the Universe series of, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's not often that you hear the star of the Masters of the Universe live action movie is getting more work aside from Goblin, of course. Yeah.
Avatar: Way of the Water is going to be on Disney Plus and Max June 7th, both mm-hmm. streaming services. That's the only thing I find interesting. It's going to be on both streaming services.
I found that interesting, too, and it has to do with the rights, I'm sure.
But there's been other movies that have been on multiple streaming services at once as well.
That's like true.
Like newer movies, but...
Don't forget...
This is two big ones.
Yeah. You sent me that little thing saying that Sisu's being released digitally tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it never got a proper theatrical release here. It was Regal's Mystery Monday movie 1 week, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, Super Mario Brothers on digital tomorrow. And then, I'm excited about these two. I don't even know which one to start with, so I'll just start with Justified is coming back. City Primeval, he is in Detroit, and it comes back in July.
I already saw one article that was like, okay, we're excited, but what the fuck is up with his hat? Why does it have those rivets on it? Raylan always had a very simple strap around the hat, and now suddenly it's got all these little silver rivets. No. I think that's funny, but yeah, I'm down for this.
Me too. It almost makes me want to try to watch the series again.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. And then even more exciting, What We Do in the Shadows. July 13th, season 5.
Yeah. And they gave us a little tiny teaser that was just Laszlo turning into a bat. And that's all I need. Like, just knowing that it's coming back, that's all I need.
Yeah. Is this the last season?
Probably.
Okay. Seems likely.
Oh, you want to hear something weird?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. I just looked over here. Apparently, Willem Dafoe is also going to be in Beetlejuice 2.
Oh.
Listen to this headline. Hellboy, the Crooked Man, wraps production. This is yet another Hellboy remake that has Mike Mignola's blessing, apparently, you know, the original creator, and they've wrapped production.
Huh.
Not they've started casting. Production's done.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that was being made.
I know! I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So.
I'm glad we have some movies, TV series coming out. You know, What We Do in the Shadows, Justified, Strange New World. So there's some stuff to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm going to start picking up some stuff that, you know, like we were talking about Silo or Shrinking or, you know,
Citadel. What was that
one watched? Citadel. Yep.
You know, Citadel.
I was thinking of the one on Netflix, the Night Black Runner, Knight? Night Manager. No.
Oh.
You know the one that I'm talking about, like the secret agent.
Oh, the Night Watch.
The Night Watch, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. I enjoyed that. Yeah, you should definitely check that out.
First, I'm going to go check and see if it was canceled, because
That's fair.
I think that's all I got this week, though. How about you?
Let's see here. No, that's everything.
Okay. I'd say that's a show then.
All right. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's our show.
We'll talk to you next week.